Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
It's me, John Williams. How are you? Gobble, gobble, gobble. It is Monday. It is the day back from Thanksgiving for a lot of us, and I hope you had a great weekend and holiday. I last spoke on this fine radio station, I believe it was Tuesday. If you're new to the show, hi, I'm John. I'm the host. At least I was. Thanks to everybody that filled in. Elif was here for a lot of it, and I'm glad that you were too. So back to the normal grind today. We will talk a little bit about who the Time Magazine Person of the Year should be. We'll visit with a friend of ours, Jane Kirtley, who is an expert on media and ethics. The president's been busy on Twitter. I had a couple questions for her, including who the Time Magazine Person of the Year should be. You know what I'm going to do? Thomas Jefferson comes on stage with me this coming Saturday, December 2nd. We'll be at the Elgin Community College. Haven't been to Elgin before with our traveling annual Jefferson show, but there he and I will be on stage chatting, and you get to ask questions too. There's about 50 tickets left, I think. And while they are in the upper bowl, I hear there's no bad seat there. I haven't been to this location, but I think it'll just be swell. And if you want to come along, we'd love to have you there. I'm going to ask Thomas Jefferson. Hey, TJ, who do you think Time Magazine's Person of the Year should have been in 1776? Who should have been Time Magazine's Person of the Year? George Washington, you know, the general of the Revolutionary Army? Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Should it have been John Adams, who was the spark, if you ask me, that lit the fire? Should it be the King of England? I mean, he's the dum-dum that lit all of this. I mean, you got a lot of options there. Plus Colin Kaepernick. I mean, think about all of the options. So we'll ask TJ about that. That'll be when we're on stage, and I hope you join us. If you want to get tickets, you can get them at WGNradio.com/events. WGNradio.com/events. By the way, I see Kim's out of the seat, and Steve Bertrand is back in the slot over the weekend, Steve. So here was what my Thanksgiving was like. And it was just fine and dandy. Slept in a little bit. I think I had, I always kind of starved myself that morning. I may have had a donut and some coffee.
Ooh, that's starving.
Then we went to see the movie. It is our annual tradition for Brenda, for me, for our sons, although Grant's on his honeymoon this year. Just got back Saturday. So my son Grant and his new bride, Nikki, were not able to join us, so we were down to three. But we wanted to keep the family tradition alive, and that is that we always go to one of the new big movies that opens on Thanksgiving Day, and then we go to Lowry's thereafter. 15 years or 16 years in a row now we've done this. So we have a nice litany of great and not-so-great movies that we've sort of bet on each year for what's our big family movie going to be. This year we saw Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
Good?
What a good movie.
Oh, I want to see it.
You think that for Thanksgiving, you and your family would like to go see a fun upper, something funny, warm, you know, something that had a Walton's undercurrent. This movie does not do that. Do not go to this if you want a warm fuzzy. But boy, is it a good movie. Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, some other folks you'd recognize. It's a really good movie. Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. It plays like a true story. I don't think it's based on anything real. But it's humorous at times. It's a drama. And it's a bit of a mystery. And it is really, really good. And as Griffin said afterwards, every scene that happened, I did not expect. You know, it's one of these things where you go, well, I think I know what's going to happen.
Right.
The cop's going to be this way, and the lady's going to be that way, and we know how these play out. And the question is, whodunit or something? It is not like that at all. Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
So I followed your advice. Well, I mean, I really always do. And we saw Lady Bird over the weekend.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Isn't that a good movie?
I really did think it was about Lady Bird Johnson.
Lady Bird Johnson. Or Lady Bird Johnson.
Lady Bird Johnson, but yeah, it's not at all.
Yeah, there's an LBJ out. This is Lady Bird. Lady Bird is the nickname a girl gave herself when she was a teenager.
What a sweet, sweet. Is it sweet?
Do you think it's been oversold? I was disappointed.
You
just
were?
A little
I thought
bit.
You're the one who recommended it.
On a scale of 1 to 23 jujubes, I gave it 19 and a half.
Okay.
But I would have liked it to have been a 21, and I'll bet it was that for you.
Honestly, I went in with no
expectation.
And not only that, I didn't really know what it was about.
Yeah.
Like I said. But so I went on purely on your recommendation.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Boy, if you are a mother and you have a daughter, or you're part of that equation in any way, this is maybe a painful movie for you to watch. The relationship between the mother and daughter is so acerbic, so cutting, so loving. It's a good movie.
And very Chicago Steppenwolf involved, too. Laurie Metcalf, Tracy Letts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you will not regret either of those options. We'll talk with a friend of ours about who the Time Magazine Person of the Year should be. But if you've been following the president over the weekend, and you shouldn't, he tweeted, Time Magazine called to say that I was probably, capital letters probably, Time Magazine called to say that I was probably going to be named Person of the Year, like last year, but I would have to agree to an interview and a major photo shoot. I said probably is no good and took a pass. Thanks anyway! Exclamation point. Every day, he reminds you, we elected a 12-year-old. So Time Magazine then immediately responded and said, we don't reveal who it's going to be. This does not necessarily mean it's going to be Donald Trump. My guess is they have some final candidates, and all of them, they ask, can we do a photo shoot and an interview? If they want to pick Donald Trump, I think it'll be Donald Trump, regardless of his cooperation. But I don't think it should be Donald Trump anyway. I think it should be, quote unquote, journalists. Donald Trump has been a given for over a year and almost our president for a full year. He will almost be that. He'll be more than 1 year elected when the issue comes out. So I think Donald Trump was obviously the right choice last year. And he would be my number two choice this year. But what's changed, I think, is the media. How does the media handle this president? How does the media handle news? What's fake news? What's real news? What do you do when you can't tell the difference? I mean, if you just think about what journalists represent to this country and world, and the president actually brought that up again this week, too. How is it not journalists? I like to tweet often, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. And I think you should. I think you should do it because it helps journalism and that helps all of us. I think you should even do it philanthropically. I don't know why you want to subscribe to a newspaper, but if you think about it at all, I think you should. And I don't care who you subscribe to, with the exception of MagPill, which is another, I guess, website that the president retweeted over the weekend. But I think it should be journalists generally. And they've done that sort of thing before, right? Haven't they collectively announced that it will be, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't do journalists, though.
Why not? Because it's too self-serving?
Sort of. Maybe it would be the First Amendment. Maybe it would do the, like the
a concept as the person of the year.
Right. Like the from Schoolhouse Rock, the little Bill. Like the little First Amendment guy. Caricature of the year.
It's got to be a person, Steve. Or persons. And it should be journalists. If it's, so my order would be journalists, Donald Trump, Colin Kaepernick. Really, in
that's a good one. You said that's so.
In any other year, it would be.
Right.
And actually, the reason that Colin Kaepernick is so explosive this year or interesting is because he fell into Donald Trump's orbit. He got sucked in. Now he's rotating around planet Trump, and everything has more energy around it when that happens. And remember, Kaepernick was not a dinner table topic this year until the president brought it up at that speech in Alabama for Big Luther.
So that brings up the whole Donald Trump stuff along with Kaepernick, and that's a good one.
Somebody just texted, you can text to 312-981-7200. Robert Mueller should be Person of the Year. My favorite tweet over the weekend was somebody who said, I don't know who the 2017 person is going to be, but I hope Mueller is for 2018. Because if this thing goes down, Mueller will be the guy. Can you imagine what every day is like for Mueller? Puts on a gray suit, a gray face, and just stoically goes to work, you know, doing stuff that the whole world is wondering every detail about and not saying much about it, or maybe occasionally leaking something. But can you just imagine how I don't know, important their everyday must feel if you're Robert Mueller and his team. And how hard it must be to do that job fairly. Wow, that's tough.
So I would take it back. I would give Trump this, because Trump was last year, right?
That's what he said, so I'm believing him on that. Yeah.
I would take it back from last year, give him this year, and make Comey last year's.
Well, you got to remember, though, that for 2016, the election wasn't until November. So really what you had for 2016 was that bizarro campaign, to say nothing of his getting elected.
Yeah, but we know more now. You know, Comey being fired, you know, for not protecting Flynn.
And how do we know more now?
What do you mean?
Journalists. Journalists.
Leakers.
Yeah, well, but
let's
that's
make
the
it
same.
The year of the leak.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, that's 2.5 or 2 or maybe 1, Steve. How about leakers? I mean, that sort of satisfies our mutual end,
right,
our interest in the president and the investigation and the journalists. It would be those nebulous people in between.
It'd be all of them, not nebulous. I think they've all probably leaked against one another at one point in the last year.
Hold on. First of all, we got to know what the word nebulous means. Do we know what nebulous even means, Steve?
Cloudy.
I'm not sure. John, Donald Trump does not deserve being man of the year. I know they choose the recipients for a variety of reasons, but he's so divisive and mean that I would be upset to see him there. Well, get ready for it. We'll visit with Jane Kirtley from the Silla Center, an expert on ethics, media, and the law. After 1:30, she's got a number of things we want to bounce off of her. She's always a good conversation. We'll visit with her after the 1:30 news with our friend Steve Bertrand. By the way, Steve, so just to finish up on what my Thanksgiving day was like, thanks for asking. So we did Thanksgiving movie. We saw 3 Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. Then we went to Lowry's, had a wonderful dinner there, as we have for many, many years. And then came home, and then on Saturday, we went to my folks' house in Joliet. Saturday night, we're driving back. We go up Route 55, coming into the city. We get to where the Stevenson meets Lakeshore Drive. So 55 and Lakeshore Drive there by McCormick Place. And from that point all the way to Fullerton, stop-and-go traffic. Stop-and-go traffic Saturday night. Why? Because all of those people were in line to go to the lights at Lincoln Park Zoo.
On Saturday?
On Saturday night. Lincoln Park, the traffic was four lanes of stop and go from the Stevenson Lakeshore Drive all the way up to Fullerton. And I felt bad for those people because when they finally crawled off, and right after that, zoom, it's open. You're doing 70. People were just like getting out of jail. Yeah! Hitting the gas. I mean, Belmont, people were doing 103. But at Fullerton, they're just getting off. And then they just start the slow slog to no parking land.
Right.
I mean, if you are, say, I don't know, you're at Navy Pier, and you go, oh, I know what this is. This is the traffic to get to a place that there's no parking. This is not going to be your night, Jack. Maybe it, and by the way, there was a long interview over the weekend. I don't remember who it was with, where they talked about this thing at Navy at Lincoln Park. It sounds fantastic. I highly recommend it based on the interview. Go and see the lights. There's like 2.5 million of them, and it's just gorgeous. And when you go by on Lakeshore Drive, you can see the lit displays. But how you're going to get there, I have no idea. Here's my advice. Don't go the Saturday night after Thanksgiving because people are still out there trying to get in.
I've got those 20 spots right outside the park.
So good luck to you on that. Speaking of the holidays, by the way, Steve, did you have a nice Thanksgiving? You had a swell turkey and
very
all
nice. Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. Any highlights you care to share with the whole family?
No, prefer to keep it private.
All right.
No, we had I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday time.
It's one of ours, that's for sure.
Because the holidays at the start of it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you just, relax and do things for 3 days or something. Yeah, Christmas between the holidays is... I don't like that time.
It's too much stress. It's too much money.
Well, I'm talking about the days between Christmas and New Year. There's nothing happening.
Oh, you like that?
I do not like that.
Well,
it's just different. It's just too dead. Here, it's 4 days. It's
nice. And there's a lot of activity, and the weather was pretty dang good, and so on and so forth. So we were at Target yesterday doing some just household shopping. Brenda said, the men's section at Target is really good. You ought to go check that out. So I said, okay. So I went out there to look for some groovy stuff. And there they had on a rack a Santa suit. That is a man's suit, not a Santa Claus outfit, a suit, a jacket, pants, and tie.
Mm-hmm.
All of them in the brightest red, green, and white wrapping paper print you've ever seen. It's nothing but little Santa Clauses and little snowflakes and little Christmas trees. Red, green, and white. It's just a print. It looks like wrapping paper. It's kind of silky and sheeny. It's got a silky sheen to it. Not sure if sheeny is a word. And it's just...
It is, but it doesn't work here.
And it's small, medium, and large. I tried on the large and thought, this is great, but it's really Pete McMurray's suit, isn't it? If you know our Pete McMurray, you know he's very handsome, very talented, and very dapper. And Pete has clothes like this. You've seen Pete in outfits, and they pop across the street. You go, wow, here comes Pete. Sometimes it's something comical like I've just described. Sometimes it's just regular clothes, but he's a dashing and debonair fella. And so I tweeted a picture of these and said, this is for Pete. And then I texted him, and he said, oh, my God, yes, I'll have it tailored. Where are you? What do I owe you? I said, no, just I will get the suit. It'll be my gift to you. Pete will not have that. Now he's insistent that he pays for it. And he said, you're not going to buy me a suit. I said, Pete, at Target I am. Don't worry about it. It was like $59. So now we're going back and forth about how he can make it up to me. And Steve, I don't know what protocol on a situation like this should be. You know, it wasn't a small item, but I can do $59 as a gift for Pete.
That's funny, you never have for me.
That is so true. He is now contemplating, because he's so insistent, getting me 30 bottles of Two Buck Chuck.
Oh.
Say in your culture, as in you, John.
Minnesota culture or Minooka culture?
In Minooka culture, that people just give gifts and they don't expect anything back.
I know. In fact, I told him, Elif, I said, if you pay me back, it'll take some of the fun away from me.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't mean to put him in an uncomfortable position, but I'm like, no, dude, just let this happen.
You don't always owe each other.
I know. That's not why I'm doing this.
And in my culture, I would tell him it was a Brooks Brothers suit.
So if you follow me on Twitter, I'm King John Williams. I'm WGN King John. I'm WGN King John on Twitter. And there's a thread of, you can follow the suit from when I first spied it at Target to its journey to my office door, where it awaits Pete's arrival sometime this week. But it's spectacular. I just want you to see it. I'm WGN King John on Twitter. Here's a tweet from the president over the weekend. I just want to read it to you and then get some reaction from somebody a lot smarter than me. Here it goes. And I don't know if you've familiarized yourself with this site before, MAGAPIL. Wow, the president tweeted over the weekend. Even I didn't realize we did so much. Wish the fake news would report thank you. And then there's a retweet of something called @MAGAPIL, and there they have posted a list of all of the president's accomplishments in the first 10 months or so of his presidency. MAGAPIL, if you read through it or read about it, is one of these conspiracy theory super pro-Trump sites that you and I really haven't heard that much about. They have posted some things that would lead you to conclude that they're a racist or have racist views, but it's this, you know, little tiny thing out there that compiled a list of pro-Trump accomplishments, you know, some of which are accomplishments and some of which are things he's done. But there's this long list, and the president looked at that and said, wow, and retweeted it. That wasn't the only thing he tweeted over the weekend. I wanted to talk a little bit about all of this with Jane Kirtley, who has been kind enough to be our guest before. She's a media ethics professor at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. Hi, Jane. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm very well, John. Thanks for having me back.
What did you make of that Trump per se, and are you familiar with that site?
I hadn't been until I saw this tweet, and I got to tell you, I mean, my immediate reaction is, oh, gosh, it's yet another one of these conspiracy sites. I mean, one of the things that really drives me crazy about sites like this is when they are perpetuating these false flag theories, that things like the shooting in Las Vegas was a false flag and stuff like that. I mean, it has no basis in reality. And, you know, for the president to suggest that they are a reliable source and mainstream media are not, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded. I'm left with no response other than you've got to be kidding me. But
it is a little ironic that while this is a site that says that, right, Las Vegas was some sort of conspiracy, Some of this stuff doesn't happen. They also believe that Hillary Clinton has conspired to commit murder. And he contrasts them with the fake news of, say, CNN, and then right. suggests that this is more legitimate.
Yes. And, you know, this just goes back to this whole narrative of trying to undermine public confidence in the mainstream media, which you and I have talked about for a very long time, and throwing people's attention to these really dubious sites that, I mean, you know, by any objective measure, simply do not conduct any kind of fact-based reporting. They report what they feel like reporting, and most of it is stuff they've made up.
Okay, so the president also tweeted over the weekend, we should have a contest. Actually, this may have come out this morning. We should have a contest as to which of the networks, plus CNN and not including Fox, is the most dishonest, corrupt, and/or distorted in its political coverage of your favorite president, me. They are all bad. Winner to receive the capital letters now, fake news trophy, exclamation point. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I did laugh out loud when I read the part about your favorite president, parenthesis, me, just in case we wouldn't know who he was talking about. I mean, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. You know, again, another example of his unending drumbeat about how mainstream media are fake and only the one he likes, which is Fox, is real. You know, I don't know what to say, except that to me, it's conduct unbecoming the president to repeatedly tell people, you cannot trust the independent media. Believe me and me only, and all will be well. This is what dictators do. It's not what the president of the United States should be doing.
Do you think that that drumbeat is having any impact?
I'm confident that it is, based on the speaking I do outside of Minneapolis when I get out farther in the countryside, as it were. I mean, other parts of the country. I mean, I'm in, as you're in Chicago, I'm in Minneapolis. This is not considered either the left or the left coast or anything like that, but there are an awful lot of people out there. And I've read several news stories, and I'm sure you have too, in the last few days, where his supporters are still unrelenting in their support, and a lot of it is based on the fact that he's telling us the truth and the mainstream media are not. So this is a very effective line of attack. For me, it goes all the way back to Vladimir Putin. This is what dictators do. They try to destroy public trust in independent press, especially when they're being critical, as opposed to simply cheering on the president, which is not the role for an independent press.
Along those lines, the New York Times on Saturday ran a story that profiled a white nationalist, and they told his story rather neutrally, if you will. They didn't criticize, or even offer a lot of backdrop. They said, here's what life is like for somebody who identifies with the Aryan Nation. What did you make of that profile, and what did you make of the criticism of the New York Times for running that story?
Well, I agree with some of the comments that the Times itself and the author made after the fact, which was essentially that this was a story that wasn't fully cooked. I'm not calling it a half-baked story, but there was a little more work, I think, that needed to be done. You know, the author said in his commentary afterwards that he'd hoped that the answers to his questions would fall into his lap. Well, you know, if you're a journalist, you don't hope things are going to fall into your lap.
What was missing from the story, Jane?
Well, I think context was what was missing, and you know, I absolutely get this idea that their hope was to portray sort of the banality of evil, as the saying goes, and the superficial normal behavior of this guy.
Right.
So that, you know, this idea of the Nazi next door. I mean, that's an appealing idea, and I think it's a useful one. But, you know, there were several things that I would agree about the criticism in terms of things like they talked about this neo-Nazi group that he helped to found, but they didn't really explain what it was. It was not one I was familiar with, and I would have liked a little more context. Again, I think this is a difficult kind of story to tell. I think it's great that they were looking into it, but for me, the lack of context overall and explanation, and sort of assuming that everybody, you know, everybody reading this knows that what he's saying is outrageous, and let's just go on from there. I think what we've seen is that it's already played into the hands of some of this guy's adherents in terms of saying, see, even the New York Times says we're not so bad. And that, of course, is always a risk in any kind of story you write, but
yeah.
I think this is one that they might have been able to avoid that by doing a little more work on the story.
But the temptation to say this guy is bad, I think, is a trap that CNN too often falls in. I've watched CNN's interviews sometimes with right-wing politicians that I think should be embarrassing to the network. They're so combative. It's not at all about getting information. It's about pounding away on some talking points. And I think CNN does that way too much. So here's the New York Times. And they said, without judgment, we are going to tell you what life is like for a voice of hate in America's heartland. That's the title of the article. And lo and behold, they go to Applebee's or Olive Garden, just like you. And they even have NPR on sometimes. And they shop online, and they have a cat, and they have the kind of lives that a lot of us do. And then lo and behold, they go to a rally in Charlottesville. And those people are out there, and there are more of them. And I think it's valuable, rather than to vilify them, to simply tell their story.
No, I agree that vilification is not the answer, but sometimes people can reveal who they really are through their own words. And I saw a couple of readers' comments that I thought were pretty perceptive, and one of them was, you know, he talked about going to Charlottesville, and a great question to have asked would have been, and so how did you feel about what happened to Heather Heyer? You know, did you think that was a good thing, bad thing? You know, what did you think about it? He talked about how bad things are. Well, what do you mean by that? In other words, not to vilify. I mean, it's like asking the neutral question that I've asked of people that tell me that they supported Trump and voted for him. I say, well, how do you feel about that now? I think that's a pretty neutral question myself, and it's a way that I can, I hope, engage them in trying to figure out whether their thinking has evolved, whether they think they did a great thing in last year and they do it again. You know, yeah. Those are great questions, and I didn't get a sense that those questions were being put to this guy.
Fair enough, but I do like the idea, even if this is a fail. How many times have the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, how many times have the Washington Post, the big players, how many times have they actually tried to do this kind of story? I don't remember reading many attempts. And if this one was a failure, I hope they haven't given up on the idea, because I think it's important.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I think that this was, you know, it was a good try, and I'm not joining the chorus of those who say this they shouldn't have tried to do it at all, but I think it just needed some more work and some more context.
Two other things I want to bounce off of Jane Kirtley. She is with the Silla Center. She's a media ethics professor at the University of Minnesota. One is Times Person of the Year. Somebody just sent me a text that I think is really good on this. Somebody they think is missing in this conversation that should be considered. And also, Jane, your thoughts about what the president said about CNN's damaging America overseas in a minute. We're talking to Jane Kirtley. She's a professor of media ethics at the University of Minnesota's Silla Center. She's been a regular guest on our show talking about things in the media, that is, the media per se. And I want to get to a couple of other things that the president tweeted, Jane. One is, he said, Fox News is much more important in the United States than CNN. But outside the U.S., CNN International is still a major source of fake news, and they represent our nation to the world very poorly. The outside world does not see the truth from them. What's your reaction to that comment to the world by the president?
That makes me so angry, because I've been working in the area of press freedom and just civil society throughout the world since the Berlin Wall came down. And I can tell you CNN was critical in encouraging people in these countries to take hold of their own destinies. And to suggest that CNN is supposed to be representing the United States, I mean, in fact, of course, it does in a respect, but it's not a government organ. That isn't why it exists. And I think Trump's just completely wrong on that. I mean, there are so many things wrong with it, I don't even know where to begin. But the bottom line is, could CNN International be better? Yes, any news media organization could be better than it is. But personally, I think they're a powerful force for promoting democracy in the world.
A lot of people posted afterwards lists of people, journalists, killed in the international arena. You know, U.S. journalists killed overseas and international journalists killed in various war-torn countries covering the world, trying to present it. It's not an easy job. It's a perilous job. The president seems to have missed their mission, in my mind. I want to read you one other thing. He said, Time magazine, this may be the best one. Time magazine called to say I was probably going to be named Man Person of the Year, like last year, but I would have to agree to an interview and a major photo shoot. I said, probably is no good, and took a pass. Thanks anyway. What are you reading or hearing there?
Well, what I'm reading and hearing is that I doubt that that conversation even took place. But even if it did, clearly Time Magazine, now acquired by a new company, and we'll see what shape it takes in the future, which is another conversation, has its own reasons for making its choices. We know that the president has a colossal ego. We know that he thinks he's the most important person in the world. What more can I say? This is another manifestation of his unwillingness to be anything other than.
Should he be the person of the year? Should he be the person of the year?
You know, I saw somebody suggest that we ought to be naming journalists the people of the year, those who fight against fake news, that they should be the people of the year. I would not. I mean, certainly he's been an important force in the past year, but so have lots of people. He would not be my choice.
I think I know why he's not your choice. I would make him my second choice. I have the same feelings about him that you do, but I think journalists should be one. Donald Trump should be two. Somebody texted this though, and I think it's interesting. Time's Person of the Year should be all the women who have spoken out about their sexual harassments and assaults. They have had a great impact. Any other year, that would be it. That would be it. You know, women who are coming out, but.
If the criterion is what's capturing the public conversation, I would absolutely agree with that. But, you know, Time has its own choices, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll visit with you another day, Jane Curtley. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I know I do nothing but give you indigestion.
That's not true. It's very stimulating having these conversations. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
I got a big thought, and it goes like this. It's 208 on WGN. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Have you ever got a ticket for speeding? Remember the story I told you a couple of weeks ago where I got a warning ticket for speeding? I was in a school zone. I had no idea that I was in a school zone. It was at night. It was raining. It wasn't well lit. It was in the city of Chicago, but I didn't know. And then I got a ticket in the mail. I read it to you on the air, and I was so thrilled that they said, this is a warning. Next time, it'll cost you money. I was also kind of amazed that somehow they took my picture. They sent me the video, and it said, there's your car just going down the road, and I guess it was going too fast. So I was at once sort of fascinated by the technology and be a little put off that I don't think I was really doing anything wrong because ain't no school kids around there when I was going there. And maybe I was going too fast, period. I got an email the next day. It said, hi, John. I caught your show, yesterday's show. This was a couple of weeks ago. I caught yesterday's show where you talked about the speeding ticket warning you got. Your experience was similar to the 41 million U.S. drivers every year that are just driving along and get a ticket, costing $6.2 billion in fines. Luckily, you only got a warning. Sounds like that warning was dubious, though. As you noted, no child was in the school zone vicinity, which is a legal requirement to issue such a ticket. Later, the letter writer said, you are right about setting speed limits to the prevailing flow of traffic. I've always said they should be that. Ticketing drivers for speeding when drivers are at or near the actual 85th percentile speed tickets, the safest drivers on the road, the ones with the lowest statistical chance to be caused to be in or cause a crash. And I got lost on that sentence. In our studio is Grant Dahlke, who wrote it. Grant, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Fine, thanks, John. Thank you for having me.
You work with a company in Elgin called K40 Electronics, right?
Correct.
And what does K40 Electronics manufacture?
We manufacture the world's most high-performance, ticket-free, guaranteed radar and laser protection systems.
So this is a radar, a speed detector, a radar detector.
It's a radar detector and a laser jammer. We like to refer to it as a wallet saver and a confidence booster.
Lynette Tomlinson is here. She's also with that company. What do you do for this company, Lynette?
Oh, I do. I help with a lot of the marketing. I handle some of the social media, our website, deal with some of our independent retailers as well.
You said radar jamming. Is that legal?
Well, no, laser jamming. Radar jamming is, radar is controlled by the FCC. It's overseen by the FCC, so that's radio waves. Jamming radar is highly illegal, and there is nothing on the market that does it effectively. There's just no true radar jamming solution. Laser jamming, on the other hand, light is regulated by the FDA, So laser jamming is legal. There are some states that restrict its use.
Laser jamming, right?
Laser jamming.
Yeah, is legal.
Is legal.
And what does that do? What does that jam? The sort of thing that I ran into?
No, that was a speed camera that you ran into.
So this wouldn't have helped me with that.
That would not have.
What does this help you with then?
Laser jamming would be when police have what's called a LIDAR gun. Or a police laser gun.
I see. So while I'm going down the road, I don't know what technology they have, but if they have something using light, this would keep me from getting a speeding ticket in that case.
Our laser diffuser line, yes, it would.
But I don't know. Should we have those? I mean, if I'm speeding, maybe I should either know it or get a ticket for it. We don't want people doing 100 miles an hour, right? I'm always tortured about this.
Using your example, you were just driving along and you were doing what the 41 million drivers in the U.S. do annually, which is what I call not driving distracted, but mindlessly. And there's actually been studies done that prove that higher enforcement takes the driver's awareness off of the actual skill of driving and focusing them on their speedometer, and they actually have a higher incidence of accidents. So,
what's this 85th percentile thing you were talking about?
That is a study that was done by both highway engineers and the University of Michigan, where they have found that speeds should be set at the 85th percentile of what the prevailing traffic flow is. That is the safest speed that should be set for any given road.
Okay, so on the Edens, I wonder what the average speed is. I wonder what 85% of the people are doing on the Edens.
Well, today coming down what I used to call the Kennedy, a little old school there, I was in the right lane doing 62 because I'm on winter tires, and that was not a good thing to do.
What's the speed limit on the Kennedy there?
55, and I was doing 62, and that was... I don't want to say dangerously slow, but
No, but if the traffic will allow, I don't know, Steve, do you come in on the Edens to work every day? If the traffic will allow on any of the major expressways in Chicago, if the traffic will allow, I would guess people are doing close to 70 miles an hour.
You get further when you're headed west to come out to Elgin.
Yeah.
They're doing 85, 90.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be doing 90. I really think some of them are. But what do you think most people are doing if left to their own devices on, I don't know, 88 or 80 or 290?
75.
I think 75 is about right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I've said then that should be about the speed limit instead of making it 65 and writing tickets. You agree with me on
Absolutely.
That.
In fact, there was an article today, Britain, 6,000 Brits are ticketed daily for exceeding the speed limit, and Britain is going to take Holland's example, and they are going to raise the speed limits to 80 miles an hour. Holland is one of the most conservative, safety-conscious countries on the planet, and they're finding that by raising it to 80, they've lowered accidents.
Hmm. Well, I hope that's true. I mean, you know, I hope, because that's how I feel. But I don't have any proof that my theory would make us safer, right? I'm saying figure out what everybody's doing and make that the speed limit. And if you make the speed limit 75, I don't think people are going to do 100 or 90. A couple knuckleheads will. But mostly that's sort of the prevailing speed that most people feel safe at. That's the speed they will go.
Correct.
Nobody wants to be unsafe. I really don't believe that. I think you want to go as fast as you can, as safely as you can.
Correct.
And usually that's about 75.
Agreed. And, you know, our products really aren't a license to speed. We don't encourage speeding, actually. You know, getting back to our ticket-free guarantee, we pay for any of your tickets.
So wait a minute. I buy this thing. What did you bring me?
That is the RLS-2 portable radar laser detector.
So this does both laser and radar detection.
Detection, correct.
So if I've got this on my dashboard or stuck to my windshield,
correct,
it'll tell me what?
Where any police radar or laser signal is coming from.
It goes beep, 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 and then I know to slow down?
It tells you the band as well as the intensity of the signal.
But will it tell me before I get the ticket? Like
absolutely.
How much warning do you have before they get you?
Depending upon atmospheric conditions, geography, topography, sometimes you can get up to a mile and a half warning.
Really? So then you slow down, and then son of a gun, you go by the guy. There he is.
And you smile, and your wallet feels that much heavier.
And then you speed back up again. So what does this cost?
That retails for $399.95.
What's the range of products that you have in prices?
Anywhere from $299 up to systems that, when they're installed, custom installed, they're actually hidden in the vehicle, they can be several thousand dollars.
these, how do you sell them, online?
No, we go through a network of independent retailers, mobile electronics retailers, as well as new car dealerships.
New car dealers offer this?
Absolutely.
They didn't offer it to me. I bought a new car recently. Boy, that would have been nice to know, although and then I could have folded it into the loan.
Exactly.
So if the car cost me $20,000, now it cost me $20,300, and I'm paying another penny a year, or just write him a check there on the spot. I guess your pitch, and this isn't a commercial, I'm not working for you, I'm still a little sort of tortured about the whole thing, but I guess your pitch is, it's sort of like insurance. Here's a $300 premium, and then I'll... And then you don't get any more tickets.
Well, that's it. And mentioning insurance, that's a key issue. Most people think it's just the ticket fine. That's where the pain just only begins. The insurance premiums over 3 years, depending upon the state you're in, can go up $2,000 for 3 years.
Yeah.
So
and most consumers that call us are just like you. I just got a ticket. This just happened to me. And it wasn't that they were purposely speeding. It was that they thought they were doing 40. And the cop got him doing 80. New cars. I mean, it's hard to judge unless you're looking at the speedometer.
Yeah.
Accidental speeding happens all the time, and we get a lot of those phone calls.
Yeah, in this case, I guarantee you I was not intentionally speeding down Ashland or Addison, wherever I was, but I guess I was. When I'm on 55 going to my folks in Joliet, I'll be doing 75 if the flow allows, and it did over the weekend. And that would have been... what, 20 or 15 miles an hour over the speed limit?
And was traffic
and
keeping
everybody,
up with you?
And I was with everybody.
There you
I
go.
Was with everybody. It's and that's the thing I think is ridiculous. So then if the speed limit was 75 on 55 from, I don't know, Joliet to 355, say, or even LaGrange Road, what do you guys think would happen to the flow of traffic? How fast would people go?
I think it's going to maintain at that because that's really truly the 85th, and that's what most people feel comfortable at. You know, it, as Lynette said, new cars just are so much smoother, and it's very deceptive how quickly you can get up to speed. And even if you're going to, you know, pass someone, all of a sudden, you know, you're 15 over just with a blip of the throttle. So
this is a company that is based in Elgin.
Correct.
It's called K40 Electronics. How many people do you all employ?
17.
Privately held company.
Private.
So when I ask you how many units do you sell, you don't tell me, right?
Right.
Exactly.
But are you well known in the industry for this sort of gadget?
Well, sure. We've been around for over 3 decades.
Where was it originally founded? Was it based in Illinois
Elgin.
All along?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You told me there's a Southern Illinois University Carbondale connection to this, right?
Yeah. The original owner, Jim Leotode, his son is Jimmy John Leotode, who is the founder of Jimmy John's Sub Shops.
That started in Southern Illinois?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
I went to Southern Illinois. I didn't know that was part... Although when I graduated in 81 from Carbondale, maybe there wasn't a Jimmy John's yet. I don't think.
No, I think it was later. It definitely was
that.
Later, yeah.
And so then this family also then ended up doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah. And there's a University of Illinois connection as well, U of I Business School?
Yes. Jim Leotode, the Leotode School of Business at UIC. Yeah, the UIC campus.
Oh, UIC.
Mm-hmm.
So very successful family.
Very
and
successful.
And now they're doing this, and you guys are manufacturing and selling these out of Elgin. Okay. Lots of questions and comments about speeding and these gadgets in a minute on WGN. We're talking about speeding and what do you call these devices, Grant, or... Lynette, radar detectors, speed
radar gun? Detectors,
radar
and
detectors.
Laser detectors.
Grant Dahlke is here and Lynette Tomlinson. They work with a company called K40 Electronics. I recently got a speed warning ticket, which brought up the topic in an email from them to me. Now we're talking about the technology and how all of this stuff works. You have a question or comment? The number is 312-981-7200. Carrie, this is John. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Oh, me, Carrie?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. I am a truck speeding through a school zone only. It was 10 to 4 in the afternoon. My daughter had gone to that school, so I knew the kids were gone at 3. And I argued it because it says on school days when children are present, they all say that. They're in a school zone. So I went to court to fight the ticket.
Yeah.
And I was told the hours were considered speeding through a school zone were between 8 and 4. So how do you know when the school's, you know, and they might have been on. I knew the school was out. And he said,
Right. But in your case, it was just before 4. So it sounds like you were still in that 8 to 4 time zone or when school children are present. Mine was in the evening. Mine was well after 4. Thank you for the call, Carrie. We'll let our guests comment on that. Maybe there was a school function going on. I didn't know. I didn't even know there was a school nearby. I wasn't that familiar with that area.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as school zones go, you know, going back to our ticket-free guarantee, just to make sure we do not pay for any tickets received in school zones or construction zones, because we are all about safety first. So with the zone that you were in, though, it's like any school zone, it's marked, you know, and it generally says when children are present. And I looked it up before I contacted you, and there is case law that says that it has to be during school hours for it to be enforced as a school zone. Otherwise, it goes to the prevailing speed limit.
But if they had a play at school at night,
oh, true,
then the school children presumably would be present.
They could
be. So then you would have to go to the slower speed, wouldn't you?
You could. And, you know, a nice feature about our products, it's called Mark to Alert. So this allows you to build your own database.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting.
Via GPS technology. So once you know where there's certain areas, like a red light camera, a speed camera, a school zone, a construction zone, one simple button press, and now well in advance of that area, your K40 will remind you, kind of like a best friend sitting next to you saying, hey, slow down. There's a, you know.
So whenever I see a speed camera or school zone or something, I just hit a button. It remembers it via GPS. Now when I'm ever driving around, it goes beep, beep, beep. Hey, slow down.
Absolutely.
You big dummy. Elizabeth, thanks for the call, Carrie. Good luck to you. I'll go from you to Elizabeth. You're on the air. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I'm with you. I'm torn on this, but I'll tell you what, I live in Michigan, and apparently 90% of the people on I-94 feel that it's safe to go 80 and above because that's what they do. The reason we have speed laws is because people think they are safe speeding when in reality they are creating hazards for other people. So I got a problem with letting people go what they think is a safe speed.
Yeah, okay.
I don't agree with it.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us. I think we could start at this place. Everybody wants everybody to be safe, number one.
Yes.
Number two, just behind that is everybody wants to go as fast as they can because they want to get there. So it's not maybe so easy to know what the safest, best speed is for everyone. But if you set it artificially low, that is, say, 60, when everybody's going to do 75 anyway, now you create this dilemma. Somebody doing 60, somebody else doing 80 because that's what people are doing. I don't think that's a safe dynamic.
Agreed. And another feature that, you know, could address this caller's concern, we have what's called a speed monitor where you can set a certain speed. So if you don't want to exceed the posted limit, you could set it for 65, 70, 75, whatever you feel is appropriate for you in that driving condition. You can set speed monitor and then it'll alert you when you exceed it. So again, it's a reminder system. We're trying to help drivers focus on driving, not worrying about where the needle or digits are on their speedometer.
This K40 Electronics is who these people work for. They're out of Elgin. One last just quick text. John, ask your guest if any of the products are legal in any type of over-the-road truck or semi. Can semi-truck drivers use these?
No commercial vehicles. There is a federal law that commercial drivers cannot use any radar detection or laser jamming
systems. You know, if you buy into your argument, and maybe you don't, it sounds like the federal government doesn't, that this is really a safety device. It keeps you from speeding. You know, it will alert you. Then everybody should have them. But if you're going to use it to speed, then I can see why you don't want them in semi-tractor trailers, because you don't want them doing 85 when the speed limit's 55 and they got 2 tons going down the road or whatever.
You literally could look at it as, yeah, you know, driver assistance. We have lane departure warnings. We have collision avoidance. This is basically telling you, hey, there's an area up here that you need to pay special attention to and stop driving mindlessly and thinking about dinner, the play this weekend, the argument with the husband, etc.
What's the website that you guys have?
K40.com.
K40.com. K40.com. And then you guys aren't retailers. This then directs you to the retail establishment nearest you.
Yes, correct. There's a Where to Buy tab, and we only sell through independent retailers and car dealerships.
Huh. Okay. Car dealerships. I'm surprised that my car dealership did not tell me about this. Lynette and Grant, thanks for coming in. Hey, I want to support local business. Congratulations on an ingenious product. Good luck to you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Grant, thanks for the letter, too, and thanks for listening. It's 229. If I find a longer version of that, Steve, maybe it's bouncing around the interwebs. You could pass that along to us, too. In our studio is Pauline Sylvan Lewis. She's the Director of Economic Advancement and Financial Opportunity. These people work with the folks at Country Financial, or are in part funded by Country Financial. Country Financial is one of our sponsors. And they told us about this organization that they're involved with. And I I'm happy to promote and talk about it because, as I said to the executive director last week, we all kind of know our little corners of the world. And lo and behold, isn't it nice to know that there are organizations out there, unbeknownst to you and me, who are working hard diligently to do good in the community for people who might not otherwise get a leg up. And they're invisible to you and me. And ain't nobody getting rich doing this. It's hard work, sometimes thankless work, and it's the most important work. And here's one of these organizations that does that, the North Lawndale Employment Network. In our studio is the Director of Economic Advancement and Financial Opportunity for that. Pauline, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I trust you agree with my assessment of your organization.
Yes, I do.
I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe everybody knows about that, and I'm on the outside, but... tell me a little bit about what that company, or it's not a company, what that organization does.
Sure. So the North Lawndale Employment Network is located on the west side of Chicago. We are in the North Lawndale community. We were founded by the community. And what happens is 57% of the individuals in that community had some kind of brush with the criminal justice system. And so our organization was formed to kind of help solve that problem. So we are an employment base. Organization. We offer job readiness training for those hardest to serve, primarily those with felony background. And a couple of years after that, we realized jobs was just not enough. So what we started doing is incorporating financial literacy. And so that's what the team at the Financial Opportunity Center does, is we incorporate financial education, workshops, supportive services into our existing workforce development programs.
I got it.
And it kind of helps us towards our mission, which is to make sure everyone have an improved quality of life towards the end.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, while last week we found out a little bit about the organization, we also then found out that one of the things they do is say, okay, if people might want to hire a felon, mm-hmm. They don't have a good work history, they've perhaps been incarcerated for a while, let's get them a job. There's Bee Love Buzz products.
That's right.
There are bees in Chicago in hives. They harvest the honey. They make products out of them. It's a great gift pack for Christmas. I mean, literally it is, even if you didn't know who's making it. But then when you find out the good it's doing, how it's paying back into the community, you really want to buy these things. So that is sort of a little side project of your organization as well, right?
Yeah, because... back in the Great Recession around the workforce development, our executive director found that we were getting all these individuals trained, but they still, with their background, could not get the jobs. And so she got creative and created Bee Love Buzz. And what we do now is our graduates from that program have an opportunity to interview, because they have to still go through the interview, just like a regular job. And they have an opportunity to work there for a short period of time where they're learning skills, having someone there to coach them through their employment, their finances, as well as helping them build a network. So once they finish, they have that permanent job.
Okay, I don't want to talk a lot about the Bee Love Buzz products. That's not why we're here today. But I just want to give it one more plug, because if you are shopping for Christmas, isn't today the Internet Day? Today, Cyber Monday, for crying out loud. Go to BeeLoveBuzz.com, and you can order the products that we're talking about. So I have the gift pack. I think that's like $60. You can buy smaller packets and individual products for much less. I say go 60. You get like 4 or 5 products in there. The lip balm, the honey, actual honey, which is delicious. The skin lotion, which I use every day. I love the soft scent to it. It's really rich and creamy. A bath scrub, isn't there?
That is. And also we're having free shipping on $35 and up. So
spend that if you're going to spend money at all. BeeLoveBuzz.com. Now, sitting next to you is Fred Schroeder. Schroeder, is that how you say your last name, Fred? Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
So you're with the North Lawndale Employment Network, too. You are a project assistant,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
So are you helping coach these guys on financial literacy, or what do you do?
I'm pretty much do everything that's required of me. I bounce around a lot. I help them with the financial literacy, do a lot of data entry, do a lot of filing, as well as just pretty much being a support there for the clients. I'm usually the first person they see when they walk into the organization.
How does somebody even walk, how do they know to walk into your door? How do they even find you guys?
Yeah, we do our best to try and just blanket the neighborhood with flyers, information, letting people know what we're all about.
And what does it say? Hey, if you are unable to find work, If you've got a conviction on your record, come see us.
Absolutely.
The exact opposite of what other businesses are doing, by the way. Yeah. They do not want to see some of these people.
Right.
You've got your arms open to them.
Yeah. If you have any barriers keeping you from getting employed, if there's anything stopping you from getting to your ideal employment situation, we tell you to come on down.
Do they have to be from North Lawndale?
No, from anywhere in the city.
Yeah. And I guess they could. Maybe they got a high school or college degree. Maybe they've never had a brush with the law, but they still might want to either work on the products or get more financial literacy, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you charge them for this service?
No, it's all free, 100%. I am a graduate of this program myself, and I've pretty much since I graduated been kicking myself for not going sooner. It's really a life-changing work.
How did you fall into the program?
Well, that's basically it. I did fall into the program. I was referred by DHS. I was getting SNAP benefits with the link card and everything. And they told me they wanted me to get into some workforce training and I just wanted to keep my card on, basically.
How old were you at the time?
This was last year, so I was 31.
I wanted to keep my card on. What do you mean
by
that?
My link card. I want to continue getting food stamps.
Oh, if you don't continue to show that you're looking for employment, then you'll lose the card?
Correct. So that was my mentality going in, was just do what they got to do to keep my stamps on. But when I walked in the door, I found pretty much my life changed.
Really? Why? Yeah. What happened?
Well, the people at the Financial Opportunity Center, the people in NLN, pretty much just seeing value in me, seeing worth in me, working with me to get my finances in order.
And you're about 30 years old at the time, 29, yes. 28, something yes. like that. And you didn't feel like you weren't sufficiently angry, sad, embarrassed that you were on stamps. You just wanted to stay on stamps.
Right, yeah. I've grown to devalue myself. Pretty much my only ambition was just keeping those stamps on. And then I saw that there was really something more to life, that I could really achieve greater things. And like I said, people saw worth in me. People saw value in me. I had grown, discouraged with myself, but I had a team of people who were telling me that it's not that bad. I can get back on the horse. I can get back into the workforce.
Where do you live?
I live in the North Austin community, basically the corner of Austin and North Avenue.
Huh. So this must make you feel good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see people like Fred all day. They come through our doors with just no hope, no desire to do anything different, only not because they don't want to. They just didn't have the resources or no one pointed them in the right direction to even find us.
Well, what a shame it is that somebody who seems as eloquent and honest and resourceful as you is walking around without any hope. You strike me as being somebody who's eminently employable. You're a nice guy.
Thank you.
Let's get this guy a job. But you said 57% of the people in North Lawndale are so discouraged that, no, 57% have had a brush with the law.
Yes.
I don't know what the unemployment rate is in that area, but it's probably higher than the 5% that we were experiencing statewide.
Of course. The unemployment rate, I think, in this North Lawndale is about three times that of the city.
Yeah. So what can we do for folks then? What can I do to help you guys do what you're doing?
Well, just keep the word going. So we have orientation for our programs every Monday at our 3726 Florinor address, every first Friday at our 906 South Holman address. And if those days don't work for you, just walk into the door, have a conversation with Fred. He can lead you into the right direction. We meet you where you're at. So whether you're ready for employment today or you're just unclear of what you're trying to do with your life, we're there to kind of support you and just lead you in the right direction.
What's the website for folks to go to?
www.nlen.org.
North Lawndale Employment Network, NLEN.org.
Yes, and we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/NLEN.
Are you looking for businesses to either donate money or offer jobs to the graduates as well?
Both. So right now, if you own a business or you're looking for someone, quality people to work, give our office a call. We have tons of clients who are ready to work and are open to doing the work that the businesses need. So, yes, we're looking for funding keeps our doors open. Businesses keep our clients hopeful.
Absolutely.
Fred, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. You too. Thanks for you both for visiting with us.
Thanks for having us.
So that's NLEN.org. Pauline Sylvan is Sylvan Lewis is the Director of Economic Advancement and Financial Opportunity there. And Fred is also one of the project assistants. One more time, that website for our guests that we're just in was NLEN, North Lawndale, Employment. employmentnetwork.org, and I really do like those products, and I really do like what they represent. So if you are doing any, literally, I think Brenda said, attention family, we're not spending a lot on Christmas this year, but if we're going to buy some stuff, you're probably going to get some of these wonderful honey-based products made by NLEN.org, the Be Love Buzz family of products. Steve, I want to take this one quick call, and then I want to finish that conversation with you. Hey, Tom, are you there? You're on WGN. How are you?
Yes, sir.
I was talking about the long line of cars to try and go to the Lincoln Park lighted area. What did you have to say about that?
Well, we went early-ish because we knew what it would be late-ish. And I used to live in Lincoln Park, and I'm a fourth-generation Chicagoan. And so we went to the conservatory, which is a wonderful experience if you've never been to. It's, again, free park district if you like ferns and tropical plants and stuff like that. And then as it got and they closed at 5, and so we left at 4:30, and we just started walking at dusk. And a number of the buildings had actual animals on display, monkeys and the seals and whatnot. So by the time we sort of wandered from the north end to the south end, it was dark, and it was gorgeous, and there weren't as many people then as there were later. But it really is a great experience, and so I would suggest going a little bit early. And, of course, parking is free around the zoo as opposed to other parts of the
world. The event is free. In fact, it's one of the few free zoos of its kind in the country for something like this. It's amazing. 2.5 million lights. I think they said they get about 500,000 people. And I was so amazed at the line of car traffic to go to it Saturday night. But that's not a bad strategy, Tom. I appreciate your help on that. Thank you. It's 2:54. Segue to Steve Bertrand back in the newsroom.
So the president was talking to a group of Navajo code walkers and made reference to, he was talking about how they'd been around a long time. And
the
all
Navajo
that.
Code, these are the people that broke the encrypted
I think they developed signals. They developed their own signals.
Oh, I see.
And then were during World War II and did it in the Navajo language in a way that, you know, our adversaries, whether it's Japanese or I think it was mostly in the Pacific. Couldn't understand.
So there's a couple of these Navajos there. The president's going to honor them.
Right. I've seen the video. I mean, they're very old men. They're in their 90s, obviously. And the president honors them, but then also says this.
Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago, they call her Pocahontas.
And so you had asked about the reaction. And there wasn't an audible reaction. I watched it, and there was a shot of the president and these two, and he put his hand on them, and he says, you know, we like you better here. But they didn't really have a reaction to the
Senator Ellen
mostly,
Warren.
John, I think just because they're, you know, it was two very elderly men.
Yeah, what a bizarre joke to tell under any circumstances, let alone to these little old guys sitting there. What's the reaction supposed to be? Oh, thanks. A, Pocahontas, red flag. B, the story is so irrelevant here. It's just a hate-filled story. Why bring it up? And it's not clear what her history is either. I mean, I've read versions of that maybe she has some Native American blood in her family tree. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's mentioned that before. Who cares? And he brings that up today. More money in the bucket, Steve. We got to start putting money in the bucket every time we say, I cannot believe this man.
It's going to be a good. We're going to have sausage on the pizza.
It's getting better. It's getting better. It's getting worse. Hey, by the way, thank you to the guy who called in a minute ago, Tom, and said, okay, here's how you do the Lincoln Park Lighted Festival. You know what I have is a pair of tickets, and we just gave these to him, to Brew Lights at Lincoln Park Zoo. It's going to be Thursday, December 7th. You'll get to sample local craft, seasonal, and international beers on tap from 12 breweries under the 2 million holiday lights. You can support the zoo and get tickets now at lpzoo.org/brewlights. LP, as in Lincoln Park, zoo.org/brewlights. That event's going to be Thursday the 7th. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, and the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Did you get all your Cyber Monday shopping in, John?
No. No, but I am going to go to NLEN.org and buy those bee honey-based products, hand lotions, lip balm.
You had the woman on
scrub.
Your show.
Yeah, it's a great way to spend a couple of bucks, NLEN.org.
Oh.
So there's that.
Locally produced honey?
Yeah, it is. And by guys who are ex-cons who are trying to get back on their feet again.
Wonderful.
And it's lovely packaging. It's a beautiful product.
I think I saw it at Mariano's.
You know, I knew they had a local distribution point, but I didn't know where it was. And did you?
The healthy section, kind of where that soap is that you can cut off the stick.
I know where you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be Love.
Be Love Buzz Products is the name. Hi, Ro. How are you?
Oh, cool.
I don't understand playing with the bees. I just don't get that part.
Well,
but
the idea that you'd have like these things of hives of bees in Chicago, it just doesn't go. It's like, no, bees need to be out in Wisconsin in the prairies with guys with the hazmat suits.
Sure, the vegetation.
That they've got them in North Lawndale, and they do. They've got hives of these things with guys with the bee suits over there doing it.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That would freak me out, I think.
Is it?
I know. I could not do that.
I couldn't do it.
I've been around those, and you know, like over in the like in the pasture, you look across, and there's like a bunch of those. It looks like somebody just dropped a bunch of banker's boxes out there, but it isn't. It's the beehive.
Don't go there.
And they're like, that's bees. Like, you know, if you get within, and it's interesting how the bees stay within a certain distance of that.
Yeah.
They have their own perimeter, and then if you cross the perimeter, it's like a neighborhood thing. Then they know. Right, you got to wear the beekeeper outfit. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
I think
one of the great advantages that is going to that Chicago's going to have here because of its distribution capability, and there is a lot of property. Like North Lawndale is an excellent example of this throughout the West Side and the South Side. That there's a lot of industrial space, or even former residential space that is now you could raise to create industrial space. That for hydroponics, for literally growing stuff.
Right, greenhouses to support local vegetables and things like that.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you could be doing this. And that's, you go to the store now, speaking of Mariano's, you go and you get all that stuff that's made here in Chicago, even though it's called Gotham. I don't know why, but it is. And it's grown here. I mean, there's a whole sustainable, interesting world of that. So
I'd like to see it.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, just before I go, next year, let's do this. We all have to agree. We're going to fund the company Christmas party next year. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Every time somebody says, I can't believe Donald Trump said or did that.
They put money in a jar.
I don't know how much money we put.
A dollar.
Dollar. Okay.
We could raise the money.
Oh, my God. We're flying the whole staff to Hawaii then.
Let's do it.
That's what we're going to do.
I find myself doing that. I go, when am I going to learn? This guy's cuckoo bananas. He's a hate-filled monster. And so stop letting that upset you, John. But what he just did.
Yeah, the Pocahontas comment,
I think. The Pocahontas thing.
In front of Navajo wind talkers.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right.
It just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
Navajo wind talkers.
Right. War heroes.
So next year, I'll get out of the way. Have a good show.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be talking about that. A.B. Stoddard will be joining us just in a few minutes to join in that conversation. Also, Congressman Kinzinger will be here this hour as well.